Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning in worship. I also want to extend a thanks to those of you who came up to the rehab center this past month and helped out with the services. And I know at times when we're up there and there's not a lot of residents there, although this last week we were there, I think they had about 10 or so, it was a good group there. But one of the things that, you know, if you think that service is maybe not particularly important and stuff, just something that happened this week that I just, you know, it really has hit me, is Sunday, we were there and we did our service and we had a great time up there. And there was a gal there, and we talked to her, and I talked to her friendly and shook her hands. She passed away on Wednesday. And, you know, I'm sitting thinking, the last sermon she heard was mine. Now, some of you probably know her better than I do. I don't know where she stood with the Lord, you know. But we have a responsibility to tell folks about Jesus Christ. And I can't think of anyone that's closer to needing that truth than those up at the rehab center. And so I thank you for those of you who came up, because I think it's important. We don't know how God is going to use us for His honor and for His glory. So anyway, thank you again for coming up and our next opportunity to serve in that capacity is going to be in February. So mark on your calendar. Don't plan any eat outs on February or something like that and stuff. Because you can eat out and come up. So anyway, what can you do in February? Watch football. That's about it. And you know, we watch football up there until Dells turns it off. Stop watching football. But you don't ever miss anything. So, anyway, we are going to, today is kind of, it's going to be an interesting sermon. You know, I'm just going to say that right off the top, because it's not in a normal format. I don't have points with it. As you look in your bulletin insert, what I've basically done is taken our passage of Scripture and have placed each verse there. With a verse underneath it, I'll kind of tell you the little journey that I've been on in coming to this, and also what is leading us to what we're going to be talking about for this fall coming up, and is that I've been reading a book, and this book has really made an impact in my life, and it's impacting me. I'm not sure it's made the impact in my life yet, because that has yet to come, but it's really challenging me. And the name of the book is Knowing God by G.I. Packard. J.I. Packard. And if you've not read that book, I encourage you to pick it up and read it. It's not necessarily an easy read. But it has so much good stuff in there, and it is so challenging. And what it tries to do is make you differentiate between knowing about God and knowing God. You say, well, those are the same thing. They're not the same thing. You know, they're not the same things. And the reason, and just a simple example, that I can relate to you is one of my most common, well, not common, but I use her quite a bit as a sermon example. And no, not Melissa, but our dog Beulah. Now, and a lot of you have met Beulah and know Beulah. And so some of you probably say, well, I know quite a bit about Beulah. And you might know quite a bit about Beulah, but you don't know Beulah. You don't know her like I know her. Like Melissa knows her, like Lizzie knows her, and like, unfortunately, Hannah knows her. Because if you talk to Hannah about Beulah, she's one step from heaven. Because she managed to eat Hannah's dinner the other night for her. So, but she was just thinking about him, you know, and when she did that. But, you know all these little facts about her because I tell you, but until you really know the dog, and some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, if that dog gives you so much fits, why do you have her? That's a great question. That's a great, great question. Because if I just knew about her, I would be tempted to say, I think maybe she would be better off at someone else's home. But I know the dog. I know her, and she is a sweet dog. And she loves people, and she loves to be around. I'll sit in my chair. She'll be sleeping somewhere else in the house, and I'll come sit in my chair. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise, and here she is. She lays down. There's a bed for her just about everywhere. And she lays down in her bed. She wants to be close. You know, and so there are things that I know about that dog that really make me endeared to that dog. Now, those of you who know about her think she's probably a nuisance. But for those in our family, except for maybe Hannah, that know her really well, we think she's a real blessing. And I know that's kind of a strange way, but to introduce this subject. But when we talk about God, do we just simply know the facts about God? Do we know all these? You know, I mean, the things that we've rattled off in sermons, and the things that I've rattled off in Sunday school. And so you have a lot of facts about God. You've heard a lot of people say a lot of things about God. And so you have this idea that you know him. But I'm going to maintain that you can't really know him until you have that relationship with him. And it's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. And I think that somewhat that is the problem in a lot of our churches today, is we talk about God and people think they know God, but they don't really have God. They don't know him in an intimate way. They just simply know the facts about him. And in this book, Knowing God, it talks about that. And I've been challenged in my thinking. Am I a person that just kind of relies on my knowledge of God, but really don't have the relationship with him that I should have with him? But we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be exploring that. And you might say, well, you know, boy, more sermons about God, and we really need to hear more about God. It's like, I think we do. But we need to take that information, and we need to make it personal. And we need to really get to know him and know who he is. And so we're going to be looking at that. And this morning's sermon, I think, is on this passage. Well, I've known about it for quite a while. But in 1 Philippians, excuse me. And it's not 1 Philippians, there's only one Philippians. So, yes, it is 1 Philippians, but I don't want to confuse you because there's no 2 Philippians. If there is, don't read it, because it's probably not a very good a Bible if it's got a second Philippians in it. But anyway, in Philippians, Paul talks about the importance of knowing God and just how far he is willing to go to know God. And so if you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses. Well, I'm just trying to think. Mark, did I put the whole book up there, or did I start with 7? I started with 7, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, so we're going to pick up with verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. I was toying with doing the whole thing, and I thought, in the interest of time, let's not. So, anyway, in here, Paul talks about something that is, I think, something that we're missing, and something that we really need to be thinking about. And so let me read through it, and then we'll go through each verse. It says, starting with verse 7, But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to Him, conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Father, there is so much about You to know. Not just facts and figures, but You, the Almighty God, truly knowing You. Father, I pray that in our lives, there would be nothing that would come in between us and You. That we would consider everything a loss compared to knowing You. Because, Father, nothing compares to the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to know You in a whole different way in the moments and the weeks to come. Thank You for Your word, which shows us who You are. Lord, may we be faithful in studying it and applying it to our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and again, I'm just going to briefly go through few verses that we have here. And going back to verse 7, Paul writes, but whatever things, and one of the reasons that I put the verses in there, because I would like you to underline those words. And you can do it in your Bible too. It's okay, Dean does it. In fact, Dean's Bible is so underlined, it's kind of hard to see what's written there. You know, Dean, you have to underline that. What is it? But it's okay to do that, right, in the margins or whatever it is. I personally use a pencil because I'm not very good at it. But underline these words. Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me. Whatever things. Now, you know, that's pretty all-inclusive here. In fact, it's all-inclusive. Whatever things were gained to me. Those things I have counted as loss. And underline or circle whatever you feel like doing. Underline the word loss. I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, we need to go back to Philippians, the first part of Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And because in here, Paul outlines who Paul is, or what he had gained, or where he had come from. And starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, although myself might have confidence in the flesh, and this whole thing is an argument against having confidence in works and in doing flesh, and circumcision is brought up quite a bit through this. And he says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if someone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. And now he lists his qualifications. Circumcised the eighth day. That's very important to them, to the Jews. of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a prosecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Paul had a lot of things to brag about. He was a good guy. I don't know, I would have liked him, but he was a good guy. He was doing everything right, according to man's kind and man's vision of what we should do. He has all these things, but here Paul is saying, I have all these qualifications, but you know what? Whatever I've gained, I throw out. I count it as loss to serve the Lord for the sake of Christ. I'm willing to give it up. I don't need that status. I don't need all those things. They're not necessary. And I willingly give them away so that I can serve the Lord for the sake of Christ. And then he goes on in verse 8. And he says, more than that, I count all things. And I want you to underline all things again. Because there is a pattern here that is developing this passage of Scripture. At first he says, whatever things. And now he says, all things. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Underline knowing. Now that's not knowing of Christ. That's not knowing about Christ. It is actually a knowing Christ. Now when Paul was persecuting the church, he knew about Christ. He knew all about Christ. His claims. His teachings. He knew all those things. But it meant nothing to him. He was still punishing the church. He was still chasing Christians. He was still trying to destroy the church. It wasn't until that day that he met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. All of a sudden, it changed from a knowledge about Christ to knowing Christ. Now, it didn't all happen at once in a flash of an eye and he knew all about Christ. It's a process. But that's where it started for Paul. And that's why he says, I count all that stuff as loss. In view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of, again, we see the whole thing, all things. Underline it. All things. He's making a point here that there is nothing compared to the value of knowing Jesus Christ and of knowing God. Then he goes as far as he says, I count them as rubbish so that I may gain Christ. He says, so all these things that he has gained, all these accomplishments, and really for a Jew, he was at the top of the rung. I mean, he was up there. And he says, I consider my standing as a Jew as being rubbish. Or if you have a King James Version, it says dung. But if you want to go with what the Greek says, basically, he considers it that which should be thrown out to the dogs. Now, you know, we feed Beulah pretty good stuff. But that Beulah's a beloved dog. And nowadays, dogs are pets, and we spend way too much money on them and too much time with them. And, you know, they live in a house, our house. She does, anyway. And, you know, but back in those days, dogs were not domesticated. They did not have dogs living in their house. Dogs were nasty, dirty animals that really had only one purpose in life, and that was to clean up the messes that man left behind. And so that is Paul's view of all his accomplishments. of everything that he had gained. He says that is worth throwing to the dogs, throwing to these disgusting animals. That's my view of my accomplishments in the sight of knowing God, of knowing Jesus Christ. You know, I stop and I think about that, and I think, wow, do I think that way? Am I willing to throw everything out for the purpose of knowing Christ? For the purpose of knowing God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God. Because I believe we can only truly know God when we rid ourselves of these things. Then He becomes real to us. Then He becomes our source, our strength, our power. Until then, I think we rely on what we have. But Paul says, I've gotten rid of everything that I have so I can know Him. And there is no comparison. Absolutely no comparison. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, we have a great thought that comes out here. So this idea of knowing God is not a Paul thing. But this is what Jeremiah pins down. This is what God told him. In verse 23, he says, thus says the Lord, let not the man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in of this, that he understands and knows me. This is what God is saying through Jeremiah the prophet to the children of Israel. This is what I want. This is what I want men to boast of, is that they understand and know me, their God. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. See, God doesn't want us just to know about Him. He wants us to know Him. And this is what He delights in. He doesn't delight in our money. He doesn't delight in our talents, in our fortune, in our fame, in our position in life. What He desires is for us to understand and to know Him. The knowledge of God is something that we need to strive for. And then we move on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul continues, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. See, Paul realizes that all his works, all the things that he did and the things that he was accomplished based on the law was not a righteousness that was worth anything. But the righteousness that is worth something is from God. And Paul wants to give everything up so that he can have the righteousness of God on him. That's the righteousness that he wants. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, Paul writes again, this time to the church of Corinth. He says, but by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it was written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that's what Paul wants to do. He wants to boast in his knowledge of God. But not his mental knowledge of God, but his relationship with God. And that's what he wants to boast about. Now, not that boy, I'm really good because I have this great relationship with God. Because if that is honestly what is in your heart, you don't know God. You know about God, but you don't know God, because that is not something that God would want us to do. He would not want us to have that attitude in here. But what Paul is saying is, if you are tempted to boast in anything, boast about your knowledge of God, and not your mental knowledge of God, but your heart knowledge of God. And if you have that true heart knowledge of God, guess what? You're not going to boast about it. You're not going to boast about it. And then he goes on, and again, in verses 10 and 11, chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, that I may know him, and underline know him, that I may know him. Then he goes on and he kind of describes, and we'll be talking more about this later in the weeks to come, so we're not going to deal with it now, but that I may know him, and listen to this, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the righteousness, to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul is hitting on something really important here. He wants to know God, to know him, so that he can obtain, so he can, know what the power of the resurrection is, and to have the fellowship in his suffering. See, when you truly know God, suffering for God is not an issue. Having to put yourself out for God is not a question. You just know, you just do it because of your knowledge of God. You know who he is. You know what he has promised. You know what he is capable of doing because he has done it in your life, because you have allowed him to work in your life. We need to know God better. We need to change the intellectual knowledge that we have, or the theological knowledge that we have of God. We need to change that into a heart knowledge of God. Truly knowing him, not knowing about him, but having that relationship with him, that we understand who he is and what he will do for us. When we understand who God is and what he will do for us, you know, we won't have to sing about the church catching on fire, because we will be on fire for him. And I always get a kick when we sing that song. I love that song. I love it. It's one of my favorite songs. I like that. But I always think about, well, catch your church on fire. That way maybe your people will get out of the building. You know, but he's not talking about catching the building on fire so that we'll get out of here. He's talking about catching the people on fire and getting us moving on. But if we knew God in the way that he desires for us to know him, this would be a song that we probably wouldn't sing anymore, because we would be on fire for the Lord. And, you know, we wouldn't consider anything that we put out for him as an effort. In fact, we would wish that we could do more. We would be finding ways that we could give more and do more and offer more, because nothing compares to the knowledge of God, to the true knowledge of God. In John chapter 17, verse 3, and again, this is a great, great passage of Jesus' prayer to God. And in this, he says some amazing things. And the ladies are going through the Gospel of John in their Bible study on Friday mornings. And I told Melissa, I said, boy, when you get to John chapter 17, you're going to be spending a couple months there, because there's so much in Jesus' prayer. But listen to what Jesus says in his prayer. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The knowledge, the true knowledge of God, is eternal life. And God wants us to know him. God has no more pleasure in us than when we are knowing who he is. And when we know who he is, we will have fruit in our life. We will be producing fruit. We will not look at it as a hardship to deal with children on Wednesday night or to go to the rehab center on a Sunday afternoon or to share about God with our neighbors, with our friends, and with our family. I know personally I need to change my knowledge of God. Yeah, I still don't know everything there is to know about Him, but I also don't have the relationship with Him that I need to have. And I need to grow in that. And the thing about our learning about God is it never ends. It won't end until we're with Him in glory and all that will be revealed. But while we're here on earth, we always have something that we can learn about God, especially as we walk in His ways through our life. Let's pray. Father, help us to know You more. Not intellectually, not through theology. Father, through a personal walk with You, may we know who You are. May You become real to us, not just words, not just good thoughts, good pictures of who You are, but Father, help us to truly know You in a way that, Father, nothing else in this life will look attractive or appealing anymore because of our knowledge and because of who You are. Father, help us in our knowledge of You as we live our lives for You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.